Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
It's our Love It, Hate It panel show, where we love The People vs. OJ. We're shocked by a return from the dead. We give advice to celebrities on Lucky in Love, and we share what we are loving and hating. Come and join the panel. Let the ranting begin. This is episode 20. I'm celebrating with a panel. 20 episodes in. The show's doing really well, so thank you to everyone listening. And to celebrate, we're having a Love It, Hate It panel, Valentine's Day episode light, and we're going to be talking a lot of what we're feeling and not feeling, and God, there's enough to talk about. There's enough of us here to talk about it. So from episode 4, Marika Arfalo is here. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you.
I'm glad to have you back, Marie.
It's good to be here.
And then let's talk about, from episode 6, Megan Stecker is here.
Hi! So happy to be back.
I'm so glad to have you. I know that you have a lot to say about People vs. OJ.
I do.
Beyonce. So there's a lot to chat about.
Slay.
Yes. And then from episode 10, James Lott Jr. is gracing us with his presence.
Thank you very much. That was 10 episodes ago. That's crazy.
Yes.
I love it.
I know, right?
I love it. I'm glad to be back.
Yes. So let's talk real quickly about what you guys have been up to. James, what's new? What's going on?
You know, I got 8,000 things going on, of course. Mm-hmm. But I just rebranded and relaunched my radio show on AdrenalineRadio.com.
Great.
It's the Super Organizer Show with James Lott Jr. And it was a 90-minute episode, and I had 3 great guests in my field, and it was such a good time.
Nice.
That's my latest kind of thing right now.
And congratulations on the 1-year anniversary of the Days of Our Lives, Dish and Days on AfterBuzz TV.
Yes. Yeah, nice. It was a very touching episode. Me and Mark J. Freeman cried. It was kind of crazy on camera. But it was the fans are just the best.
I checked it out. You had the video submissions and the slideshow. It was nice. It was a good episode.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Marie, what's new with you?
Well, just re-signed my lease, so very exciting news there.
Nice.
And I'm sure some people listening will be able to relate, but today I got an email that Adele is doing a very, intimate show this Friday night at the Wiltern Theater.
Oh, wow.
And tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So
wow.
I am currently, freaking out.
Yeah.
I need to get tickets, even though I already got tickets for August.
Okay.
But that's 6 months away. I need tickets now. So if you had asked me earlier, that was the only thing I could focus on to talk about. But I would really like to get tickets to
that.
So.
Awesome. I love it. I love it.
And Megan Stecker, what's going on, girl?
Let's see. Oh my goodness, since we last spoke. I had an awesome, one-on-one, hour-long interview with the pastor who married Kim and Kanye over the AfterBuzz Studios, Rich Wilkerson Jr. He had his own Lifetime series. I'm sorry, was it Lifetime?
Actually, I think it was it WE TV?
Yes, WE.
Mm-hmm.
WE Network. Okay, so he had his own series on there called Rich and Faith, and he was out here in LA promoting, so I did an awesome hour-long interview with him. You can check that out on AfterBuzz TV's YouTube or iTunes.
Oh, cool.
Situation.
Nice.
And I signed a confidentiality agreement about something really exciting going on. I'd love to speak more about it, but let's just say it's offering me personal fulfillment, and
ooh,
I can't
awesome.
Say any more than that.
That's
great.
Exciting.
Industry exclusive.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
That's how much. Yeah. Uh-huh.
This podcast is very LA.
It's totally
LA vibes.
It's oh my god, Adele at the Wiltern. I signed a confidentiality agreement.
My radio show, oh my god.
I was totally stuck in traffic all the way here, and Fountain was just as bad as Santa Monica.
Hey, they don't call it Hollywood Talk for nothing. This is some true Hollywood Talk.
It is actually, wow.
Yeah, we want to give you the whole experience. But before we get into all the hot topics that I want to talk about, I want to talk about Valentine's Day and what we're all planning to do. Some people acknowledge it, other people don't. I'm actually going to be in Las Vegas for a friend's birthday, and I'm finally going to be seeing Brittany, who I've been...
I saw it a couple of years ago, and it... Oh, it's awesome.
I saw the Dream Within a Dream tour when I was a child. So this is going to be a new experience, and I am so overdue for a Vegas trip. Can't tell.
That's good. That's good. I love it.
So so that's what I'm doing. It's going to be a quick one-night deal, but hey, I'm excited. It's time to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what about you? James, you said you had something cute coming up.
This is the cute meter right now. My granddaughter, yes, I have a granddaughter, called me. Her name is Scarlett with one T. and she's 10 years old. She called me 2 weeks ago and said, Papa Jamie, which is my grandfather name, and said, will you be my Valentine for Valentine's Day? So I'm going to a dance with her for grandfather, granddaughter Valentine's Day in Sacramento. So that's my
story.
So that's my cute Valentine's story.
So
I'll be leaving Friday to see all my grandkids, my kids, but on Sunday I'll be with her.
Awesome. That's great. Well, I get a long weekend for President's Day weekend, which I'm really looking forward to. And my boyfriend told me that he made dinner reservations on Sunday night, but I don't know where we're going. Okay. And he sent flowers to me today at work. Shout out to Kirk. Great job.
Go Kirk.
And hopefully Adele on Friday night.
Yes. Well, that's a good weekend.
Pretty laid back, and it'll just be nice. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be very nice. Yeah.
Now, Megan's also in a relationship, so what can you speak to about that?
I think we unofficially did Valentine's Day today. So I've been working 6 day weeks, and Wednesdays are my only day off, which is it is a Wednesday currently today. And my boyfriend randomly had off. His schedule's been changing a lot with work, producing, and things. So we both had the day off. Very exciting. I had to do a conference call in the middle of the afternoon, but after that, he had taken the doors and the top off the Jeep. Uh-huh. We went to Malibu.
Okay.
We went to Paradise Cove. We had lunch. We had our toes in the sand. It was great. It was so overpriced and so average, but so great. Just like we're having the summertime weather.
Yeah, we are.
We both head off, which is a miracle because that doesn't happen. Yeah. And it was great. So we're both working on Valentine's Day. So I think today was probably it.
Okay. That's cute. Very cute.
Well, here's a topic we could have talked about 20 years ago, but we're going to talk about it today. O.J. Simpson. I mean, it just transcends time and space and craziness and, oh, Lord. So the show on FX, doing very well for FX. I watch the show. I think that the performances are excellent. The production value, which I really look at. I watch shows with a critical eye. Really. So I really got into this one. I think it was really well done. So let's talk a little bit about the show and OJ and kind of just like put it all together.
Sure.
So what did you think of the show? Was it like, did you go in with high expectations? Did they match those expectations?
So, well, I went in with high expectations just because I'm so fascinated by the whole thing. And what I love is that they're really covering things that like are kind of funny sidebars. Like last night, the Ford Bronco chase episode aired, which was fantastic. And one thing they focused on, or that I had read a lot about, is that pizza delivery sales had gone up. And there's a scene in a Pizza Hut, and the guy's like making pizzas, and he's like, "We're out of cheese." And I'm like, "This is fantastic!" Like they're focusing on all these like pieces of it. But I have to say, like, by far, my favorite character is David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian, because I think he's playing it really well. The hair is perfect. And just seeing the kids playing, like, the Kardashian children and knowing what they grew up to become is so fascinating to me. So I'm really enjoying it. I think it's great.
I think it's depressing to see what they've grown up to become.
I find it interesting.
Let's ramp that up.
Yeah. The whole thing.
Little Rob Kardashian, played by a cute soap actor, and now he's this million-pound loser. Megan, what did you think?
Oh my God. I think I went in with high expectations because it's Ryan Murphy and all of the huge stars that were being cast, and I feel like it's exceeded my expectations, which is a thrill. Like, when does that ever happen? Especially on television. So I am thrilled with David Schwimmer's portrayal, performance, what have you. I think the physical element of it, how much he looks like Mr. Robert Kardashian is kind of great. And as well as, his, you know, portrayal, because I think we don't really know what Robert was like, but I think the fact that he seems like such a caring, sympathetic character. They're doing a great job with that. I think Selma Blair as Chris Kardashian's blowing me away.
It's so great.
It's insane to me how she's really got the, gosh, just the physical, I think every little movement her body makes. I'm like, oh, that's Chris. It's, you know, I'm like, wow, I'm really blown away by everyone's portrayals. And the fact that I was sympathetic toward OJ last night, coming to the table thinking like, from everything I knew growing up watching this whole thing go down and the evidence, like, I always assumed he was guilty. But last night's episode, I'm like, maybe he isn't guilty. Maybe he didn't do it. He's having a mental breakdown over the fact that he's like, maybe, you know, if he didn't do it, this, he's running because he's like, I can't believe I'm about to be arrested for this. And he needs time to sort through it in his brain. You know, there's so many, I think from the first episode, a lot of people were thinking, oh, this is being portrayed to us as a he's guilty story. And now, even just in the second episode, it's like, no, they are kind of showing different sides of it. They're showing Marsha Clark's view of things. They're showing Robert Kardashian's view of how things are going. They're showing OJ's view of how things are going.
Well, that's a good niche. That's what makes such a quality piece, I guess. Yeah. And it's not all slanted one way, like a made-for-TV movie or something like that. Like, I looked at that Madoff. Did you watch that?
ABC? Richard Dreyfuss, no. Ooh,
that compared to this FX specialist, you can't compare the two.
It's a train wreck.
It was like, they had like the Richard Dreyfuss like doing a voiceover, and it was like, and then I told them I'm gonna make them money. And then they cut to like a little old-fashioned, like a montage of like people typing on a computer. It was like, all right, it was a little too movie for me. Now, James, you decided to sit this one out. You didn't watch the show. Just, are you done with OJ?
It's what's really funny for me is that I was old enough to remember. I was like my mid 20s when this happened.
And okay, which is crazy because you look like you're in your mid 20s.
Thank you.
But you have a granddaughter. This is blowing my mind.
I'm close to 50. Yeah. It's my mother's, all her genes. But no, for me, when I heard they were doing this, I was kind of like, okay. But then it made sense because it was our soap opera back then. If you remember, 20 years ago, the internet was not what it was today. There was no Twitter or Facebook. Cable wasn't even where it was today. And so for us, this was the story. I mean, I was enthralled the first time around. I watched it every day. I remember the Bronco chase. I remember being home. I had three jobs in San Francisco at the time. It was so expensive to live there. And I happened to be home. My roommate was home. We were watching it going, what is going on? Because OJ was the Hertz guy. He was the orange juice guy. He was in Airplane. He was like, he's this guy that you just kind of was like, he's the good, I'm not Airplane, Naked Gun. He was like the guy that was so affable and friendly and good looking. And it's like, what? And it's also a volatile time in L.A., because we had from Rodney King in 92 to this, race relations were so hard and so high. And for for me, I had the unpopular opinion of saying I thought he was guilty. And so when he got acquitted, you know, it was really divided, black and white. And many blacks who also agreed he was guilty were kind of glad he got off just because of the justice system at that time, which is ironic today. We're going through some of the similar stuff today.
Very interesting.
So I didn't. I'm probably not going to watch it. But I lived it.
My grandmother said the same thing. She said I followed every inch of that case. It was exhausting. She's like, I know what the story is. I'm just, I'm good. She just feels like she's good with it. But I don't know. I just feel like I was, I don't know. I don't want to say I was like really young and didn't know.
You know how sometimes you have these very like random vivid memories of your childhood. So one of like the very first memories I can really remember is I was in elementary school and the teacher turned on the TV to watch The Verdict. Just to be like young in elementary school was so crazy that we watched it. And I remember so vividly like people gasping. Then there was like a teacher and an assistant or whatever. So they knew what was going on. And I, just as a little kid, I have memories of that. So I was always interested. And I mean, now, of course, I've just become so enthralled in pop culture. And anytime anyone like mentions, when I moved out here, people mentioned Bundy. I was like, oh my God, Bundy. Like or Rockingham. Yeah. Like these names that you've heard over like the 405 freeway, like being from the East Coast, and then you come and it's like, oh, people just drive on it like it's a regular road. But you know, it was it's become like infamous. So,
which is for many, it's a great thing because back then it kind of talks about how we didn't have cell phones. It was also many of us didn't have cell phones at the time. We had pagers, and then also it was tabloid magazines. It was like this. It was Star, The Globe, National Enquirer was really big. And I remember going to go buy groceries and OJ and all his cast of characters, Judge Ito and Faye Resnick. Yeah. Like, they were all on my there. And I followed every single thing. It was our soap opera at the time.
Yeah.
And some of our soap operas did get preempted for things like that too back then. And there's a lot of stuff that went on that because of this thing. Everybody was watching it.
Certain network executives even kind of credited him for the decline in daytime soap viewership because... They said the real life true crime is upstaging what you could. It's better than what you could write. You know, so yeah. Who knows? That's arguably whatever. But you know, my first like real celebrity trial circus I remember is the Michael Jackson trial.
Of course,
that was I remember waiting by the radio with a radio actually to hear
that's
those.
So funny.
That
Martin Bashir interview is still some of the craziest television I've ever seen.
The best.
Martin, I'm in a tree, right? You know what I mean? It's and he's got the umbrella. Like, it's, oh my
James,
God.
James, I
so
think we
great.
Talked about this on your episode.
Oh my
Grant's
God.
Grant's.
We did because we're
that
talking
so
about
funny.
That. We did,
the
like,
Jacksons. Yeah. It's full circle.
It does.
Before
it does.
We go deep into the Jacksons, because then this whole show is going to be like derailed.
Yes.
Let's talk about Beyonce's new song. Super Bowl performance. It's out there. Some of us are feeling it.
Yeah.
Some of us are not. Megan, where do you stand?
I mean, I'm already dancing in my seat over here. I mean, I say slay all day. No, I loved it. I was actually, it's a very, very artistic video, and I didn't hear the song first. I watched the video first. So it kind of was like a shock value. I'm like, whoa, Beyonce's going there. This is a big message. But I'm happy she went there. I think she struggles with, this is just a guess, it's not like she's spoken out about this. I think she struggles with criticism of how light her skin is and the blonde hair and not standing up for black people. You know, there's all kinds of criticism that comes out about her from both sides, I think.
Yes.
And I think it's not easy to be her when, you know, if predominantly white people are buying your music and then the black people are like, you're not black enough. Like, I think it's a tough place to be. And I think she wanted to be like, I'm repping for my people today. And there's a lot to talk about. And there's high race relation things going on right now. And I'm happy she went there. And I thought it was extremely artistic. She looked amazing in every single scene. I don't think I understood what every single scene was about. I'm not sure if we were supposed to understand. But beautiful video overall. I love the message. And slay.
I love you, Megan. That was, you got some good points. I'm ready to rant, of course, but you got some good points. Go to her. Yes. Here's the deal. My first reaction, I'm the black person on the panel. If you guys can see us on the podcast, I was like, oh, she's black now. That was my first reaction. So when you said that, I was like, okay. There's a problem with a lot of black celebrities who suddenly in videos and TV shows and things get a little lighter and lighter and lighter in their looks. It does happen. I always call it the whitening of America, a black America. And Halle Berry was a little darker when she started, and people were like, they were a little darker. And some of us are. We all come in different hues and shades.
That's how I feel about Ciara.
That hurts you?
Oh.
So just another one. And they get a little lighter, and they get, like you said, get a little blonder. But I have no problem with blonde hair. I used to have blonde hair, too. hair is just hair. But I felt like she's super famous and super popular. She's going to be fine. She don't care about what we think. She's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I brought it back for me, because, again, I'm a little older than the rest of you. I thought of Madonna and Prince, George Michael. Back in the 80s, they would do videos and things that people just were like, what are you talking about? Like, what's going on? And they were good videos. Like, I Want Your Sex Bomb with George Michael was controversial. Mm-hmm. Madonna had so many controversial videos, of course. Mm-hmm. Prince wearing, you know, leather and lace and hopping around with, you know, panties on. I mean, it's like, to me, it was all artistic expression. So I give it to Beyonce that that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, why not? And it's also because people talking. We're talking about it on your show.
Yeah.
So I wasn't mad at her at all. The song was catchy. And for me, my first reaction was Beyonce's black right now. Okay, I'll take this.
See, I'm all for a message, but from music quality and listening to it on the radio, not into it.
Yeah,
a rants.
No, I, you know, my first tweet actually after hearing this song was, are we all supposed to pretend that this song is good? I was just not into this song. The video looks cool. I've seen a lot of like clips and references. You know, they show a lot of clips and try to like point out what it all means. But I mean, I'm all for a good video, but this song is not doing it for me.
I agree. I don't particularly care for the song at all. I like, see, I come from like, I love Crazy in Love. I love Single Ladies. I love Destiny's Child. Okay, so this song to me didn't have that same feel. I'm very impressed in that video, the one outfit she's wearing, like the red, like top. I mean, her boobies stayed in. Yes. Like, amazingly. really? Yeah. I'm like, oh wait, she's turning. They're coming out. But they stayed in. Fantastic. Whoever did the double stick tape.
They did a good job.
Yeah, yeah, very good. But here's the thing with like the Super Bowl performance. Who is carrying the fan? The fan follows her.
Everywhere she goes.
Now, I will say also, like, I think she's an amazing dancer. I thought her, you know, her dance crew was fantastic. But if you really watch it, it's just a lot of stamping and, like, head whipping.
Yes.
And there wasn't much else there. And see, I was more, like, into, like, I love Bruno Mars. I don't know. I just like his, like, style more. Mm-hmm. If this were recorded, you would see me dancing. Just had, like, a different feel to me. But, I don't know, like, but maybe it is because, like, something like Single Ladies where, like, that dance has become so iconic. Mm-hmm. This just didn't do it for me in the same way, but it's getting people talking. I mean, it's all over now. They're, like, talking about boycotts and riots I mean, you know.
I know for my rock stars, and she's a rock star, so to speak, in the loose term or whatever, I want some controversy sometimes.
Yeah,
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I grew up with that. Too. I miss it sometimes. Right. Everybody's so politically correct and so just like, they're super polished and produced that everything's just like, here it is, and now here's your pop thing, and here it is. Like, I get a little something a little different once in a while.
Well, a lot of people were saying, but I mean a lot of people, I mean people on The View.
Here we go.
Some people on The View were saying that they shouldn't have a message for a family show, like at the Super Bowl, and it's just too much to put on a platform like that. Look, I don't think her message was that much in anyone's face. I think it was okay to have a little bit of something, but, you know, I mean, it's, you know, some people could argue, well, what's too much, what's too little. I think it was okay.
For me, being the black person, of course, because they brought up, they're wearing the berets, and they're doing some, they're in the fit and the fist thing.
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, we're a young country, and race is something that's still very volatile. It's a hard thing to talk about. And there are many folks who say you shouldn't have any kind of political or racial agenda at any kind of award ceremony or this kind of thing. And I don't know. I think you're a performer, and these are pop performers. You should be able to express yourself however you want to. Mm-hmm. I think in a big forum like that. I mean, it was entertainment. Mm-hmm. You know, first.
No matter what, like, Beyonce did with her agenda there, please, she's a businesswoman.
Yes, she is.
She releases the video Saturday, she performs at the Super Bowl Sunday, and that night she announces the world tour.
Yeah, right. She's not dumb.
She's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
She'll be just fine no matter what happens.
Exactly. Yeah. I totally agree with you
about that. She and Jay and Bay.
Yep.
They'll be fine. And Little Blue. You're not worried
at all for family structure, income.
Yeah, she's been fine. She's a smart cookie.
Yeah.
Just a quick aside, I feel like I'm so fascinated by Beyonce, how removed she is from the business, as far as she's so quiet.
Yeah.
You don't hear anything from her except for when she mysteriously drops an album.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's like, she's the only person that does that. Everybody else is all the Twitter and this and that and fighting. I mean, look at Kanye, like, what a fool. But like, Beyonce's so quiet and
that's
so removed from all of it, and just like, all right, I've been quietly working on this for 2 years. Boop, there you go. Like, I'm just fascinated by it.
It's another level.
No one does it.
I admire
like
that, actually.
Yeah.
I do, too. Yeah.
So there's this story that I'm real, like, I just love this story.
Me too.
And James on the panel posted it, and this is the first place I saw it. And then the following day, I saw it more and more on Facebook. And I was like, what is this? Like, I love a dramatic story. So the Washington Post, here's the headline. It says, wife crashes her own funeral, horrifying her husband, who had paid to have her killed. There you go. There's a story. I was like, what? What is this? Now, this, you know, if you're on social media, you see articles day after day, and it's like, you know, you kind of pick and choose. You're not going to like everything. You're not going to read everything. You're certainly not going to share it. But this one, I was, like, so inclined to check out. So this woman basically, you know, so yeah, her husband paid for her to be killed. The guys who was the hitmen didn't do away with her. Then she showed up at a funeral and said, look, I'm alive, bitch.
That's right.
I love it. This, to me, is like a fantasy of like a soap opera storyline I wanted to live out in my adulthood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As someone who grew up watching the soaps, The Returns from the Dead.
Oh, yes.
You know, Reva Shane coming back. And then, just so much stuff. Like, this, to me, is like something I wanted to do in my life. I've always wanted to shine. I've always been fascinated by people who want to go and see their own funeral. Like, I've always been fascinated by that stuff. So this girl really did it. And the guy, you know, he didn't get away with it now, but he did before. And now he's doing 9 years, whatever. But, you know, it's always like, you know, what do you say? There's no body. But he convinced everybody, crying up a storm. I was fascinated by this article. What did you make of it?
Yeah, no, it's no. For me, it was really crazy because I felt like the mind of someone who wants to have somebody killed. Like, what do you do? How do you get in that mindset?
Well, a mother of your own kids.
It's right? So weird. Yeah, but just period. Like, you hire somebody to kill somebody in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, I've wanted to kill some people, in quotes, in my life, but I've never thought about killing them. Like, actually going at that next step.
Yeah, I'm way too selfish. Like, now he has to sit in jail. Like, I, you know, no matter how much you don't like someone, it's like, no, like, I'm still better, so.
Yes, exactly.
That's my thought process. But I would have just loved to have seen her walk in.
Yes!
And what he, like, his facial expression.
What do you wear?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Make sure your hair's dead. Yes.
Like, I'm fascinated. Like, I would want to go to my own funeral. So the fact that she got to go is beyond to me.
Yes.
I bet she looked amazeballs. And then the part of the story that stuck with me was her husband needing to physically touch her to see that she was real. I mean, that's how twisted this whole thing got. Yes. And I'm like, oh, I can just picture him touching her. What do you say? Her shoulder or something? Like, just touching it lightly. And he jumped back like, ooh, like that hysterics. Oh,
you get what you get, you ass.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go to my own funeral, but I've always been fascinated to be there with people's reactions when they hear I died. I mean, I was curious to see what people's reactions would be when they first hear that James Lott Jr. is dead. I wonder what that would be like.
I wonder, did they do like a big, like a fake search? Because usually if there's no body, though, there's like a big investigation around that. I don't know. Like, or were people like, okay, she's gone, and we'll plan the funeral. I don't know.
I could think of was on The Young and the Restless when Gina Tognoni took over the role of Phyllis and she flung open the door at the church. I just picture like a church and there's someone coming in like a big like white whatever they wear. You know, like I'm fascinated by it. I just think it's so cool.
That's really, I don't usually share these kind of stories, but that was one I thought, I ended up laughing. So I was like, it's just like, your thing went wrong, sir, so now you go to prison and your wife's alive, and she's so positive. She's like, oh, I'll get married again.
Yeah, she's still celebrating Valentine's Day like us.
Yes.
Yeah, she's out there looking for a man.
The human spirit.
I think I'd be done with men after
that. Yeah, me too. Me too.
So in the spirit of our Love It, Hate It show, I saw an article on BuzzFeed.com, and the title of it is 27 Things You Hated as a Child But Love Now. And, of course, it's exactly what it sounds like, 27 things in BuzzFeed's own way, and, you know, it kind of makes you feel a little, for me, maybe feel like a little grown up, because I was like, but there are still things on this list I'm still not feeling. We'll talk about
Of course.
But what about you, James? What about you? What are you thinking?
What's funny is that I was a weird kid. And I liked most of the things. I liked naps and I liked salads when I was a kid and stuff. But what made me laugh was that, number one, the opposite sex. maybe chuckle on that one. Which I did go with women for a while. Obviously, I have kids. But the third one, the one I was talking about was the banish to your room. Okay, so I'm one of 1,000 kids. Mm-hmm. And so my mother would just get mad at us and go, okay, you go here, you go there, you go here, you go there. And I was always banished to the bathroom.
Aww.
It was like so boring. And then my younger brother, JR, was always banished to the room of the toys. I'm like, that's not fair. I was always in the bathroom. Like, what am I going to do in the bathroom?
Were there magazines at least?
No.
Oh, no. That's a bummer.
I know. I was like, so I was always banished to a room I didn't care for.
Yeah, there's really not much.
I think documentaries is on that list.
Yes.
Oh, Making a Murderer. I didn't see sunlight for 3 days. So fantastic. Love documentaries now. Yeah, you're scrolling through. Let's see.
I did like when I was a kid, too, because I saw one on collecting vinyl when I was a kid and it inspired me to collect vinyl. So, I mean, I liked that, actually, so...
There's one about getting practical gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just give me something I will actually use.
Maybe that's why I'm an organizer now. Yeah. I always liked practical gifts.
See, as a kid, I didn't like taking naps. In fact, I remember telling my mom as a child, there's no need for a nap if you get a good night's sleep. It's a waste of time during the day.
Wow.
Now, if I have the opportunity to take a nap, I love
there's
nothing better.
There's nothing like it.
I took one yesterday. You know, I took one from 2 to 2:30, and it was the best thing on earth.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The very best. Like, just the, you know, just even have the option to be able to be like, you know what? I can lay down right now and sleep. Like, that is priceless to be able to sleep.
And you stopped it on the ticking, talking about your day. I had a big mouth as a child also, so I had no problem telling my business as a kid. I'm actually the opposite now. I actually have slowed down playing my business, but as a kid, I talk about everything.
Oh, me too. I used to love to hold court around the dinner table, like, Jennifer this, and Jenny that, and Jennifer R, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was super into it, and I actually loved salads as a kid, which was weird. After school snacks were either, like, a bag of potato chips, or I was making a salad, which is so weird. But do you guys remember that Catalina dressing?
Yes.
Oh, my God, I would make a salad with Catalina dressing. It's so weird.
My grandmother, Lot, had a garden. Here in LA, and so she lived 10 blocks from me, so I used to always get fresh vegetables.
Do you want to look at any of them while we're talking?
I read them, so I was but that was, and being left alone, I was one of those latchkey kids in the 70s, so we were always left alone, and we actually liked it. It was like the parents are away, they're at work, so it was kind of good for us.
Right.
Yes.
Well, you know, I, as a kid, I also didn't like the news, and I actually I like following like MSNBC and Rachel Maddow. I never thought I would watch those shows, but there's some things on that list. Like I said, I'm still not impressed. Salads, absolutely not. I will never order a salad. I do not have any. I mean, I'm not into finishing vegetables even to this day. I don't take them. I don't even doggy bag them. No thanks.
Wow,
no.
I love vegetables. Sometimes sometimes on a hot day I need a cold salad.
Yes.
Yep. It's like nothing else really. It's like because when it gets hotter, I'm less hungry. I'm less heavy. And sometimes there's bad salads out there too. I've gone places where there are bad salads, but there's places when you get a really good salad where the lettuce is really good and the ingredients all work together.
Oh, totally.
And the dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, good night. I love it. Love it. So, yes.
You know, long car rides is on there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind them as a kid, but I mean, we live in LA. Everything's a long car ride. I'm good.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not enjoying any type of long car ride. That's not enjoyable to me
at all. I have a long car ride 6 days a week. Like, I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, so mine too. Mine was the opposite. I didn't mind them as a kid. I don't like them now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the taste of alcohol. Well, I did grow up with hippie parents in the 70s, so I liked the taste of alcohol back then. It was like, have a little beer. It's okay back then. Explains everything now, of course, but yes.
Oh, yeah, I hated, oh my God. I remember my dad letting me taste alcohol. I was probably 3 years old. I tasted his beer. He's like, you want to taste it? Tastes just like apple juice. You know, the whole, like, reverse psychology deal. And I just remember, like, spitting it out on the carpet.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a beer drinker because of the same thing. Yeah. I said, I never need to try this again. I'm good. I don't order beer, which is hard, especially if you're on a budget, because beer is cheap. And then me, I need to buy like a top shelf cocktail, so everybody else has three drinks of the price of one for me.
That's so funny. Now, you mentioned she stopped at haircuts, actually. Now, for me as a black person, it was a rite of passage. Like those movies, Barbershop, were the truth for me.
Mm-hmm.
We always went to black barbers on a Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was excited to go and sit there and hear the older guys talk to each other. Oh, can you say that? Stuff to each other. And there's always like a Jet magazine with the Jet Beauty in the center and Ebony and all that stuff. And I just remember as a kid, it was something we did like a couple of Saturdays a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go really far out into the ghetto to go there. But once we got there, it was like a sanctuary.
Right.
And it was like all these black men, these older black men telling these stories to the younger black men and talking crap to each other. And it was a rite of passage. So I always enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I love haircuts because I get compliments and attention.
I gave you one when I came in.
Yeah. As soon as I met James, that was the first thing he said. I'm currently rocking the Robin Wright House of Cards haircut. And I love it.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. And so, like, right now it's a little bit longer. It's been growing out. I got a little bit of, like, flip in the back.
Okay.
And I am not even kidding. Like, in the last week, a few people have said, oh, you got your hair cut. And I'm like, no, it's just growing out. Uh-huh. And then I'll go and get it cut, and I'll get even more compliments. So, it's been a good cut for me for a while. But I always look forward to going because, I really like it.
Well, getting a haircut is the only time I feel like I'm going through any type of, like, real therapy, you know, because I'm not, I won't go on my phone because I'm like, look, I can sit here for 30 minutes. I don't need to be on my phone for this.
Me too.
You know, so I do sit there and I just kind of really think about everything, you know, that's kind of the one, that and like, you know, the shower. It's like the only time I can like do like a little bit of like me time, really, because I'm always distracted by something.
But like for me, I take my glasses off and I can't see anything and I'm blind. So it really is time for myself. I take my glasses off, I close my eyes, and let the guy do what he needs to do. And it's, you're right. I don't have my phone on me, I don't do anything. It just, it's a good time. And he puts the hot towel on me afterwards. I'm just like,
I love that.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
With Valentine's Day around the corner, not everyone can be happy on the holiday. And there are some people who just, I don't know if they'll ever be. So we have a panel here that is going to get into some advice that we can give to celebrities that are unlucky in love. And we have a professional life coach on the panel, our very own James Lott Jr. So if he can't get them in line, it's hopeless. So let's give some advice to celebrities that really, really need it. I mean, I can say this because I could use some help myself. So, I mean, I'm going to Britney, but, you know, the bed is going to be cold at the end of the night. Actually, it might not be because I might be sleeping next to a stranger because I'm going with a friend for his birthday and I don't know all of his friends.
Oh. So to Vegas.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, I might want the bed to be cold because I don't know these people.
Right.
Lesbian superstar Rosie O'Donnell is in need of some help. This girl has gone through marriages, breakups, custody battles. She's single again. She's rumored to see this one and this one and that one. People we didn't even know were lesbians. It's like, you know, so it's like, all right, what do we tell her? She's now, there's rumors that the daughter put out there that she's addicted to pot. I think she's got a lot of vices. My advice to her is she's got to completely reel it in and get clean and then reevaluate. You've got to work on yourself before you can get with somebody else. That's my advice to you, Rosie.
Right. I felt horrible about the whole Chelsea thing last year. I think that was just really sad. But yeah, I miss like the Rosie O'Donnell show. I miss that Rosie and being
Rosie's
in love with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. It just, yeah, she's having some issues. For me, what I've seen is like she gets with these women and it's these huge blended families and there's so much focus on that and like, and then all of a sudden they're done. And I always think like about the kids and just what that dynamic is. It just, it's so messy. Like, I don't know. It just makes me sad when I think about
it. It's a bad habit to be all in with someone and then all out immediately.
Yeah.
That's a bad habit to have. Megan, what do you think?
I think I remember a lot of her stories about feeling like such an abandoned child from her mother's death from cancer. And to see, and then I feel like all of that pain manifested in she had to have all these adopted kids to fill up her life with love. And I feel like she's focused so much on her career and being successful that way more time and focus should have been on those kids. Like, having kids is a full-time job, and I think everyone in this country is so obsessed with looking successful and being successful and material success and trying to fill up holes in your life with that kind of stuff where, you know, having kids should be your full-time job. If that's what you're so all about, then let that be your life. Don't be worried about the next big gig you need to get and, you know, play you're trying to write and you're producing this and that and what should I do a comedy show? Yeah, just as like, I think she needs to totally take a step back from the business and focus on the family life.
Just real quick, Rosie, do you remember she had that amazing NBC show before
the variety show?
The worst thing I've ever seen. But you know I live for anything that's a disaster and entertaining at the same time.
It was horrible.
Oh, just, I mean, I live for stuff like that. Now, James, a professional opinion. Rosie O'Donnell, what do you say to her?
I think Megan hit it on there, and it stems from her mother. It stems from mother's death and wanting to grow up and create the family you feel like you didn't have. And I think it's the problem with her is that she's meeting these girls who, also she's in the entertainment business. So you're meeting these girls, it's very heightened, everything is accelerated because you're all in the entertainment business. I'm going to make a family, I'm going to get together. And I think what she needs to do is to really look at that, like really, really deep down, feel the pain, the full pain of the loss of her mother. Mm-hmm. That's where it starts. They always tell you in coaching to start with, you have to start from the center. And I think where her center is that loss of her mother. Mm-hmm. And because Madonna talks about it a lot in her stuff, because she lost her mother too. And I have friends who've lost their mothers at young age, and that's something you never get over, a mother or a father, and you try to recreate that. So that's her problem, because you both hit it, where it's very much family stuff. It's not her just dating a lot. It's like, I'm going to get married and have a family and be together, and I got 10 kids. And it's all about trying to recreate that. And she's a stop and really look at what that stems from. All this other stuff is just extraneous stuff that she's doing to numb the pain.
Very smart. Very smart. Let's see if we can solve Sherry Shepherd's problems.
Oh my God.
Sherry, the recipient of the Sherry Shepherd Award for Excellence in Ignorance in 2015. Sherry, she has a stray child out there that she refuses to...
I feel really bad. That whole situation is so awful.
I just sit on my hands because I have my own rant about Sherry Shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot to say. I mean, yes. Sherry, I don't have any advice for you.
I'm not a fan of hers at all.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I just think she's not very smart. I had a problem saying that on public record. But I actually met her when I stepped on her foot. We were actually going by, it was behind the scenes at Dancing with the Stars, and we were going behind the bleachers, and she was going this way with Eric Roberts, and I was going another way. You can't see it all, of course, we're on a podcast. And all of a sudden, I hear, ow! So it was a really tight space. And I went, it's Sherry Shepherd. I saw the boobs first. She's like shaped like a question mark, like big boobs, like nothing else. No ass or anything. So I was like, oh my God.
I'm loving this.
Like, I was like, oh my God. And she goes, baby, I'm so sorry. I said, I wasn't watching where I was going. And I was like, oh, but I was. And then Eric Roberts goes, nice voice, man. I'm like, thank you, Eric Roberts. And then I kept on going.
Wow.
So that was my, I was like, I stepped on her foot and it made me very happy. I tweeted that afterwards. I was very happy.
Oh, I thought she was going to do something that you didn't like.
No, she was living. But stepping on her foot. It made me very happy I stepped on her foot.
Well, what's your life coach advice for her hot mess, though?
I don't know if there's any help for her at all. I think,
said the same thing.
I really think that she's trying to put on an act for public and for her and what she thinks her brand is. But like, where's the real person? Because the whole baby thing is such a weird scenario.
It's so weird.
It's so bizarre.
To me, that all comes down to money, and that speaks to her character.
Thank you, exactly.
And it's unfortunate because I loved her on 30 Rock.
Okay.
On 30 Rock, No, I mean, I don't really have too much of an opinion about her, like, outside of that. I mean, I do think it's sad, this whole, the child issue and, she not wanting to be involved. But, like, in 30 Rock, she was so funny, and she was really good in that role, and... So I don't know. It's just hard for me to like differentiate because I see her as Angie fighting with Tracy Morgan all the time. But she needs help.
I just don't have any advice for her. I just really don't.
I don't either. I don't think she should be in a relationship right now. After that terrible marriage, I mean she doesn't know how to pick them.
I just remember her bullying that man into marrying
him. I think so.
Love what a mess
it was like Star Jones and her husband.
Oh my God,
what a mess. Ow.
Another classic.
Yes. And I didn't like Star Jones either. Another one.
Oh, man.
What a mess.
Yes.
Well, you think that's a mess. Next on this list, Lindsay Lohan.
I like her.
Oh, I'm a huge Lohan fan.
Jake
the whole
can
family.
Go last.
Y'all go last. You guys go first. I like her. You guys go first.
Okay. Well, first of all, we need a follow-up to that documentary.
Yes, I watched every episode.
I mean, when she pulled that I had a miscarriage.
Crazy.
Insane.
And I remember you and I talking about it. Maybe I called in to AfterBuzz or something.
I did, yes.
But I remember there was the episode where the movers came. They moved everything into her apartment. She was overwhelmed. Hello, it's called a move. It's normal. There's boxes everywhere. Yeah. Like, that's a thing. And she made the movers take everything back out of the apartment. Like, that's something is not right. That's not what you do. Oh, and then she, like, brought all the clothes to, like, donation Goodwill, and then she used the money that she got to buy new clothes. Like, there's just something. It's awful. Something's wrong with her.
Yeah.
Has she been linked to anyone recently?
No.
Not really.
No, right?
Yeah,
I haven't heard anything.
She crosses both ponds, you know, with men and women.
If you will, yeah.
I think, Sam Ronson, say what you want.
That's right.
I think maybe that she needs to settle with women, because she's got so many men that are just drive-bys. I mean, really.
It's so she was with Sam a long time.
They lived together in Venice.
That's what it is.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, is this someone who just should just not be? We all know someone that just should not be in a relationship.
Well, here's the thing. I think she needs to be, like, a lifelong member of some, like, Alcoholics, whatever, Anonymous. Like, she's probably should go to, like, 12 blank Anonymous meetings a week. The problem is, I think she kind of has some major mental problems from the way she was brought up. Her mom's a basket case. Her dad's a major basket case. And her, she's just not normal. Like, her view of reality is so skewed, which you could see by watching that Oprah show. Just insanity, the way she... There's, like, some manic behavior all the time. There's always something. And I think that she's the type of person that to get even get back to a reality state is going to be a lot of work. And obviously, she shouldn't be in any type of relationship until that happens. And I don't think it's ever going to happen, honestly. I don't.
Well, I want to introduce the mother to the panel. I have a framed photo of Dina is coming.
This is bedside
in the house.
Oh, wow.
So if you're going to insult Dina's parenting, say it to her face.
Dina, you're a spotlighting whore. No, here's the problem is she always wanted to be famous, and she was just a stage mom, and her kid made it. And I mean, it's such a good lesson for everyone.
Her, do you know that in The Parent Trap, she made them put her as an extra at the pool when the father fell into the pool?
Yes.
She's laid out.
That's
as an extra.
And in the airport.
Oh,
yes.
You know.
I read about that. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you can see her in the background.
That's what I love about her. She make that money, get scrappy.
Totally. But can I tell you, anytime The Parent Trap is on, I watch it. It's just one of those movies, like, I cannot go one more channel up, because it was Lindsay, like, she was so good in that movie. And, like, up until Mean Girls, everything was, you know, okay. I mean, that's when she started to kind of change, but I just look back, it's like, she really was talented. Like, she really was good.
Yeah,
she was.
I'm
just so sad.
All right, James, the professional opinion. Lindsay, what do you say? What do you tell her?
You know, I actually am rooting for Lindsay. I'm a big Lindsay fan, actually. I think because, like what Marie just said, she's super talented. I think I think she's actually a smart person, but she's smart for her own good. And I think that drugs and alcohol, again, stems from the parents, stems from the upbringing. I know. Hey, Dina. Hey, girl. The thing with Dina, which is really funny about her too, is I know parents who, because I also raise children myself, so I know parents who live their lives through their children, and so I think that whole family actually needs counseling, like true counseling, not just like no Dr. Drew, because he's tired, he needs several seats himself. He'll show up to an opening of an envelope, done with him. And I think we need, like, some real people to sit down with them, including the younger sister Allie and the brother, get them all in a room and just have, like, a knockdown drag out session. And it stems with Michael, and it stems with Dina, and I think that'll help begin the process with Lindsay and the kids to kind of at least look with them. So again, you need to get back to center. You need to get back to center where it starts, and I think that's the problem.
Yeah. Getting back to center, true.
It starts from the top.
Yeah.
Everything starts from the top.
Yeah.
Any problems I had were with my parents too. But I found a way to work all that out through therapy and other means.
Well, we have one more person who really needs our advice.
I could rant on this one too.
Chris Brown. This guy, you know, allegedly gang-related, which makes it even better. I mean, just talk about someone who really just shouldn't be in a relationship. Anyone that he pulls into that web is just, it's going to end as poorly as possible. This is someone like Michael. These girls should go the other way. However, he's a lot younger than Michael, has more money than Michael, so there's a lot more attraction there. What do we say?
Women love him. It's so amazing to me. He's not good. He's not, and I don't think he's sincere. No. I didn't buy any of his apologies or anything. I didn't buy his bow tie and the Larry King interview or whatever. I just don't buy any of it. I felt like his antics are so disingenuous. He's just so, like, yelling at fans, not buying his album that one time. It's just like, he's so, like, I just don't buy it. I think he feels like he's higher than other people. So that's kind of
Yeah. You know that, like, viral YouTube video from a few years ago with, like, the bride dancing down the aisle? I still love that so much, but it's to his song. And I always have, like, these mixed feelings about it because I'm like, and then he went and, like, beat Rihanna. Right, and right. So I'm just like, but I love that video so much, but I'm like, I can't look at it or listen
he's
to
talented.
It.
He's talented. No, he's talented.
Yeah, but it's really hard because I feel like he's just totally tarnished his reputation. So
yeah, he's a twisted web. Yeah. A twisted web.
Because he's a seriously talented dancer and a great singer. I can't support him anymore. I just can't do it. He just continuously does things that's just, to me, is just not kosher.
I'm sick of hearing his name come up because I feel like I never know of a new song from him. I only know of the latest, why he's in the news, what he did wrong this time. And the whole mess with having the kid in the mix, who's not, you know, who wasn't the girlfriend at the time, you know, the baby mama wasn't the girlfriend at the time, and the whole, like, I just can't. It's so crazy to me how in our society there's really not repercussions for, like, breaking someone's heart and being reckless and all these terrible things that he's, like, constantly doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you only get in trouble if you hit someone. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, this kid's such a mess. I mean, he needs therapy. I don't know.
I feel bad for him because he could really have a good life.
Yeah, he could.
Mm-hmm. He could have a good, long music career and be respected. He started off young as like a youthful fan base. And, you know, there's just very little hope for him as well.
He has got his own way. That's my coaching advice. So he needs to get out of his own way and actually learn to be sincere again and focus on just the music and the dancing. I mean, I look at him, look at someone like Kanye, who when he opens his mouth, I want to slap him. But I have every single album of his. I think he does music that's sonically better than most people in the last, like, 10, 15 years. I think he comes out with great, great, great content. It's just his personal life, I want to slap him.
Yeah.
Well, let's wish these people a happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Come find me at thesuperorganizer.com.
I will
help you.
Well, let's switch gears really quickly.
Yes.
And let's talk about something that we love. And, of course, in the Grant's Rants way, it's always going to be TV and pop culture and things like that. You know, we're not going to go too deep with this Hollywood after all. So let's talk about the current TV show that we are in love with. Marie.
Aside from the People versus
OJ,
okay. Well, I will say there's two actually. Monday nights on NBC, Superstore and Telenovela.
I love Telenovela.
Into them. First of all, if you're also driving, this is such an LA comment, but if you're on Forest Lawn and you're turning onto Barham by Warner Brothers, you can see they made like a fake Cloud 9 Superstore front.
Yeah.
So it's like their kind of version of like a Kmart or Walmart type of thing. And it's really funny because it's just a wall and there's nothing behind it, which is funny. But like, I love America Ferrera. I think she's awesome. You know, Sister of the Traveling Pants, of course. Like, I've been a huge fan of hers for a long time. But the show is just genuinely funny. It kind of has that, like, The Office type of feel. And it's just really good. And, I mean, anyone who works in any type of office with a group of people with different personalities can appreciate it.
You know, I went to the set of that show, actually.
Oh,
it's
cool.
It's a total store.
It's got the ceiling tiles.
It looks just like a store. They even have, like, the back entrance to the studio, you know, like the side doors on studios.
Yeah.
It was like, it looked like you were going to, like, the bathroom.
Right.
It looks like, you know, you go down a hallway and there's, like, a poster for the store. Yeah. Like, no one really puts up a poster like that, like, except in a store. You know, so it was really actually, like, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. America's great. I liked her in Real Women Have Curves. I liked her in Ugly Betty.
I love Betty. That show is before its time. I miss that show.
I agree.
So that and Telenovela, I love Eva, of course, but it is just so genuinely funny. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just really good. Because sometimes our shows, it's like, oh, it's the behind the scenes of a show on a show.
Yeah.
It can be a little ridiculous, but she's made it really good. And just the beginning, the very first episode, just how they set it up where her ex-husband comes back to be on the telenovela with her. I love it. And you guys are soap opera, so I'm sure.
And also, I'm also half Latino, so I watch telenovelas, so I know I grew up with them. I got to interview Jaden Douglas at AfterBuzz. And she plays Lexi. She plays the oh my god! Like, she's kind of like the young blonde Latina, and she's great. And she talked about how the show is. Eva is just, like, wonderful. Alex Manessa, she plays all the big hair. It's such a great show. I love that show.
Yeah.
All right, James.
That was almost my choice. I scratched it out. I wrote telenovela. and scratched it out. Seriously.
We are seriously on the
same
wavelength.
Yeah, I know. Amazing. And I did write down, but I wanted to mention something else instead. I'm glad you mentioned it. Married at First Sight on FYI. I got so hooked. You know, a lot of these cable shows will show mini marathons.
Yeah, yeah.
On a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday evening, and I get home tired from my doing my jobs at AfterBuzz. I'm like, I'm just going to watch some bad TV. And I'm like, oh, okay. I got hooked last season. I'm hooked this season. They marry him at First Sight. It's a train wreck. It's 6 weeks. I'm all in.
How did you find the FYI network? Because Cocktails with Chloe is on there. And I'm like, I don't even know what the FYI network is.
One of my favorites.
Cross out Cocktails with Chloe.
Good thing, because you know it. You know you're on this show.
We're not talking about those people.
No, we can't. if that's what you love.
But you're so funny. No, I didn't know what. I mean, I just happened. I was like, I just was going through channels. I'm like, FYI.
Let me tell you, I am fully invested in this new tiny house movement, Captivating the Country. They have many a show to offer me whole arena. So I'm very happy with the FYI network. But my current fave show. Is not a new show. It is currently in season.
Okay.
The Little Couple.
You like that?
I love that.
Every week, I have to tune in and have my good cry session.
I didn't know this about you.
When are you ever going to see a reality show that's positive? And I've never seen two more positive people in my life, and for them to be so accomplished and so positive, facing so many obstacles, like. Physical and health wise,
it's
like, of course, they have dwarfism on top of, you know, she's getting cancer, he needs back surgery, it's all these things, and like, they never complain, and they're so positive and sweet. And then they adopted these two children with dwarfism who are cute as buttons, and I just can't take the cute factor. And it's like, every week I gotta have my little cry session, like, get back in line and like, get positive again, like, just using their good vibes to like, refocus and be like, this is what matters.
I love watching it, because like, they go to the children's museum and they just go on the slide. It's like that's it. There's no drama, there's no fighting.
They're just like, taking the kids around for Halloween trick or treating, or they're just like, going and getting chocolate shake because the kids had to go to the doctor and get shots. And it's like, so basic, but to see just anyone's like, everyday life presented as fully joy, I think it's so refreshing.
Well,
do you think Bill and Jen are listening to this, that they are on them to like, yes, be a part
shout
of it next time?
Shout out to the Kleins, we love you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you guys enjoy TV that means something.
Yes, totally.
TV that I love. I gotta say, loved Celebrity Big Brother. I was so into that show. It got me through a time where I had a lot of time on my hands.
How'd you see it?
And it was on every day. It was on YouTube and a couple different bootleg sites. Okay. Not torrented.
Is this UK?
Streamed.
Yeah, UK, before right.
Coming, you know. Okay. But it was just, and of course, New York was on there, which leads me to my real favorite show, which has not aired yet.
I don't know.
It's coming out, the VH1's Family Therapy. I just can't. I've looked at everything there is. I can't wait. Dina and Michael are on the show, and then it cuts.
Stop.
And then it cuts to Tiffany and her mother, New York, screaming and biting. So that goes, that couple, they're going down the slide at the Children's Museum. But these people are going over a roller coaster with no track. And so I can't wait to watch. It's going to be such a disaster. I've talked about it constantly.
And Michael have to do therapy on TV together.
Yes.
This is so good.
Yeah,
this is
good.
It's going to be a mess.
Mess.
Why are they embarrassing themselves like that?
They're getting paid.
So sad.
What channel is that going to be on?
Oh, VH1. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a look at what movie that we loved. What movie did we love recently that caught our attention? I'll go first. I saw the movie, Oscar-nominated movie, Brooklyn.
Oh,
had a chance to look at that.
With Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah. Saoirse, that's right.
Not Saoirse.
I was so impressed with her performance, the pace of the story, the way it was shot. I just thought it was really well done. And I am not a movie person, and I usually don't even bother, unless if it's something big like I did to go see Star Wars. But this movie, I was like, it's kind of curious to see, and it did not disappoint. I recommend it. I really do. It was a good movie.
I wonder if you want to see it.
I saw The Martian over the weekend. It was so good.
I loved it.
You know, it's one of those where it's 2.5 hours long, so you have to really invest.
Oh, that is an investment.
But in like literally the first 5 minutes, I was in. Oh, and partially because it's like Matt Damon, who, let's be honest, of the Matt and Ben friendship, I love him.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
just, you know, how could Ben do that to beautiful Dimples? I get so annoyed just thinking about it. But just within, like, the first, like, 2 minutes, and I'm not, you know, giving anything away, his crew, they're on Mars, and they think he's dead, and so they just leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then he's there by himself, and it's just, like, the fact that he's so smart, obviously, and he's a scientist, and he can, like, figure out a way to sustain his life on Mars was so interesting. And, I mean, I highly recommend it. And I know it won, like, Best Comedy at the Golden Globes.
What the F?
Yeah. And they do that, I think, and I had read this article about it, just to get the other movies, like, into... And they should just make, like, the drama category, you know, six movies or whatever. Yeah. But it was so well done and really... gripping, because sometimes when movies are that long, I loved it.
I didn't like Interstellar at all.
I didn't even see it. I heard it was very long.
I was not into it, so that's why I was turned off from watching this movie. But it sounds like this is a better experience.
Yeah, and the cast is great. Like, Kristen Wiig is in it, but she's like the director of PR, and so they're trying to spin it. Like, how do they not let the American public know that, like, they left someone on Mars? Mm-hmm. So she plays this, like, serious role, very different from, like, the target lady, you know? It's like a totally different type of role.
Yeah, I love it.
And the cast is really, really good, so I highly recommend that one. See it. Yeah.
So Star Wars was the last movie I was bananas over. More recently, I saw one of the top, let's say, it's going to be in the final category presented on Oscars night, and I was so not impressed. I didn't hate it by any means, but I was like, ugh. So I'm going to let it remain nameless because I don't want to hate. But Star Wars, I was so beyond thrilled because when's the last time I was that excited at the movies? I, like, thought it was that great. Like, I feel like it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I watched all the previous Star Wars. I think I saw the three. What years did those come out? Episodes 1, 2, and 3?
Oh, like the early 2000s.
I think I saw all three of those as well. And I kind of only liked the very last one because I was like, well, at least I explained how Darth Vader got to be the Darth Vader. Wasn't impressed with those. So I think, like, I was like, oh my god, a Star Wars movie I really liked, and, like, now I get the fandom. Like, I'm very impressed.
Yeah, it was great.
I've seen every single Star Wars in the theater.
Okay.
The first one came out when I was 8 years old. So I've seen every single one. I can actually claim that.
Right. Well, what are you loving?
But the movie that I picked, though, is a documentary.
Oh, okay.
And I saw it this weekend, and it was I highly recommend it. It's by Spike Lee, and it's called Michael Jackson from Motown to Off the Wall. And they chronicle, and they have footage I've never seen. And I grew up with Michael Jackson and Jackson 5. They showed footage I've never seen before. It talks about how Michael became a man, basically, before Thriller, before all that happened. Off the Wall was his first solo album as an adult that set the standard. And it shows this whole progression from being this kid, because him and Jermaine were actually the co-leads in the Jackson 5. And they had great voices, but Michael had it. They show this footage. He could tap dance. He was tap dancing with the Nicholas Brothers. He could do ballet. He could do... When he premiered, I remember watching it as a kid, when he premiered on Soul Train, he premiered the actual, like, robots. And the Jacksons are looking at him like, what are you doing? They didn't know what he was doing.
Wow.
And it changed his whole career. Just doing that one performance made it to the next level. And making the album, having Quincy Jones, who's a jazz producer and all stuff, do an album with Michael Jackson. I mean, he was a child star. Mm-hmm. We forget that he wasn't the biggest person in the world yet. He was a child star. And all those songs, my favorite song is ABC, but and it's just that and Spike Lee did a great job. He got everybody to talk about Berry Gordy, to Suzanne DePass, to Saida Garrett, and he just got everybody in there to talk about him. It was a great documentary.
Is it on Netflix?
I think it is.
Oh, yeah,
I have to see it.
I feel like Spike Lee is so vocal about all of his work, I'm surprised I
haven't heard of it. That's true, too. But he also did Bad 25, which I haven't seen yet, Making the Bad album.
What artist or song are you really feeling? What are you in love with? Some music came out in the new year, so we got some stuff to pick from. Love it or hate it. So let's see what we love. What are you thinking?
Well, anytime Justin Bieber's Sorry is on the radio, I can't help it. Like, I love the music video and I can't help but dancing. But I actually, I do like some country music, I will admit. Some of the songs I think are just beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy on the radio last week, I'd never even heard of him. His name is Thomas Rhett. Mm. And the song is called Die a Happy Man. and it is beautiful. So I highly recommend listening to it because I really, really love it. And I've been listening to it nonstop for like the last week. It's a really great song. So yeah, it's funny how sometimes just... I just had the radio on in my car, and then all of a sudden I'm like, now I have this new song that I love. Yeah. So yeah, I recommend it.
On the Justin Bieber tip, I've been very much enjoying Love Yourself, I believe is the title of the song. Okay. So Ed Sheeran wrote that song, and I think it's beautiful. The kid can really sing. And I enjoy a girl that was on his album with him is kind of doing a cover version currently on a radio tour where she substitutes Go and Love Yourself with Go and F Yourself. So that's another great version of it. It's I do the thing in the car where I'm like trying to like karaoke along to it, and I'll hold my ears so you can like actually hear your own voice. And I'm like, I sound like effing garbage, but I want to be so good. Like, I know I really like a song when I'm like, should I do this at karaoke? You know, and I can't sing. But that's how much I like the song that I want to perform in a karaoke, but I can't.
That's so funny. That part when he says, "My mama don't like you," and she likes everyone. I like harmonize with it. I like, sound so amazing.
No, I harmonize with the chorus, and I'm like, "Oh, I got this." And then if I plug one ear, I don't got that. No.
Well, I love, in this case, the Chainsmokers. I mentioned them before.
Oh, yes. That song is great. Yeah.
And then, but they've got a new one out that recently came out. Mm. They dropped it last week, and it's called Don't Let Me Down. And I think it's pretty cool. It's a good listen. It's like their music paints a picture for me, and it's a very, like, metro, like, I see, you know, like, the time lapse of, like, the 101 coming around the bend. You know what I mean? Like, I see, like, you know, like a drone shot of downtown LA, you know? So it's like, I don't know, I see, like, different things when I listen to music. I like it, and it's a beat, and I love everything they do. Like, I just love them. I was thankful for them in the Thanksgiving episode. So, you know, it's just coming full circle. So I'm still in love with the Chainsmokers. Yes.
Here's the ancient portion of the show, because I feel so old. I'm like, I don't get Justin Bieber and that stuff. But right now I've been listening to a lot of Neil Young. I grew up with him. Well, I grew up with him. I grew up with his music. There's a song called "Old Man" he's talking about his father and how he's turning into kind of like his father, and he kind of wishes. It just the lyrics are just getting "Harvest Moon." All this stuff. I've been listening to a lot of his stuff right now. That's just speaking to me. But a song that I really love is from Gallivant. I love the show. I loved it. And the song is with my girl Kylie Minogue, and it's called "Off of the Shirt." I've been playing it to death. The song is so funny.
It sounds fun.
It's a lot of fun. She's in the show. I was watching it. I'm like, it's Kylie Minogue. Oh my God. She was also in San Andreas. My girl Kylie's showing up everywhere. I'm a big Kylie fan, as you can see. But the song is so hilarious, and it fit the actual parody of Gallivant, and I love that. So
is John Stamos still in that? In Gallivant?
He came on for last season. I didn't even come on this season, but everybody's so good
at it. I love Kylie. Still, we can't get you out of my head with that white outfit she wore. Just my whole middle school career was changed.
I was a huge Spice Girls Kylie fan. So
love it.
Yes.
All right, let's turn the tables on what we're disliking. I called it love it, hate it. Do we really hate these things? Do we have enough passion to hate them?
I do.
Oh, well, then I guess we do.
Should we start with you, James?
Hate is a strong word. Okay,
hating. What TV should we be hating?
Okay, so three of us are in the profession. You should be in the profession. But the three of us are in the profession of hosting. I think you should be a host.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. I'm a side... kind of.
Yeah, but I can see you.
I've dabbled.
Marie's great.
Yeah.
See, you are. You can,
thank you.
But the three of us are, so I do watch some of these shows that are on TV and think, God, how did those people get those jobs? One, The Fit Life. Horrible. I love Tyra, and I was
Fab Life.
That's how much I hate the show.
Yeah.
The Fab Life is just completely boring and awful. And I like Joe Z, I don't mind Christy Teigen and other stuff. This day, even Tyra left. I mean, she's just producing it now. It's so bad. Yeah. Also, Hollywood Today.
Aww.
They took one of our former AfterBuzzers out and replaced him with Ross Matthews.
Oh, no.
I didn't know they took him off that show.
I didn't know that it was a former AfterBuzzer. AJ Ross Gibson.
Yes. And so suddenly he was out.
What channel is that on?
I want to say it's on syndicated.
It's syndicated.
Or it's on 11 maybe or something.
I think it airs... on, oh shoot, I forget, here in LA. Oh,
but it has no personality. It's just like the hosts do not stand out. They don't stand out.
That's true.
Those two shows, and there's been so much about the Chew, another one, those shows do nothing for it. But Fab Life and that one just do nothing for
it. Fab Life got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
It's already been canceled. Yeah, Tyler went to go and have, like, take care of her surrogate baby.
And celebrity. and the celebrity apprentice.
Right.
At least someone's taking care of her baby.
Yeah. But it was just like crazy. It was like, she left the show. The show got canceled. And she has a baby now. It's crazy.
So, yes, I agree.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I don't know if there's anything right now that I'm, like, particularly hating, but I will say I'm a huge awards show season fan. I mean, that is my Super Bowl. And I can't stand Juliana on the red carpet.
Really?
She makes me crazy.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Why?
I find her to be very awkward. Like, if you remember last year, she was doing, like, she wanted George Clooney to do a shot with her.
Yeah.
And it was just very uncomfortable.
Oh.
And I did notice this year that they had, I don't know if it was Ryan or, I think it was Ryan, kind of in the main area, like at the Golden Globes interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like cut to Juliana and she was interviewing like Jacob Tremblay, the little 9-year-old kid in the room.
Yeah.
I feel like they gave her the very B list people to interview because maybe they don't know like how she's going to react. And overall, I will say this. I do like her as a person. I love her and Bill Rancic
together. Me too. I love this show.
And the fact that she battled cancer and they were able to have little Duke. Like, I love that.
Me too.
But there is just something uncomfortable. And last year with Fashion Police, with that whole issue with Zendaya and everything.
Oh,
so every time she's on TV, I get very like, oh no, what's she going to say wrong?
So
I get really, really anxious. So for me, like, I'm nervous about the Grammys, the Oscars.
Okay.
It's a very tense time.
Megan,
okay,
what
I'll call it dislike, not hate. Anything my boyfriend's watching. yeah, really, it's a big long list. So I'll stick to my deal. The Bachelor, I don't get the hysteria over it.
Yeah,
I think I'm the only person in the world not watching this show.
I'm not watching it either.
I have tried. I love old school reality TV.
Yeah.
I have tried with that show. I watched the premiere of this current season. I couldn't get through half of it.
I mean, it's just such a joke with the way that the girls come out and their whole line on the first night and like, I mean, there's been a
the
whole...
The gimmicks. Like, who's a twin?
Right.
They're going to bring a small horse on
the
set.
The show.
Stupid.
The show has really, really, really run its course. I mean, the fact that they could make a hit scripted show out of the off-screen theatrics that go on and people still want to watch it. I don't understand. Like, the jig is up.
It's a huge hit.
I don't understand why people still want to watch this garbage, but I'm not into it.
Mm-hmm.
Not feeling it.
I will admit, I have this problem. I have an amazing memory, but with The Bachelor, every Monday night, I'm like, ugh, I hate this. Why am I torturing myself? And by Tuesday, I'm like, oh my God, can't wait till next Monday for the next episode. I find it to be very painful. I do watch it because a lot of my coworkers watch it. And I like being very
that's
in the
a big
know.
Thing in offices.
I like to talk about it. But it is so bad and so painful.
Mm.
And every year you have the same thing. You have the girl who's really hot so she can be really mean, but the guy doesn't care because she's so hot. And like, there's always those kind of like stereotypes every season, but it is painful to get through. And I'm very like, when I have a show I like, I mean, I am glued, no phone, no distractions. And I find with The Bachelor, like, I'm getting up and doing dishes. Like, I can't stay engaged, but it's just so much crazy. Like, I always feel better about myself when I watch it.
Well, I hate watch a lot of TV, too. And say it with me. You know what show I hate?
The View.
Yeah.
But I also want to say that I really am not enjoying Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh.
I do not like that show.
Oh, okay.
That mute. Because when I watch The View on Hulu, the very next thing that is programmed to come on is Jimmy Kimmel, and that drum comes on. They have the opening theme. I don't find him funny, and I don't enjoy a lot of the guests that he has on. I love Fallon, I love The Tonight Show, but to me, and I know it's all the same. It's the same topics on the news. It's this. It's you know, a white guy and a button-down shirt. But to me, I just do not like it. I just don't like it. I'm not about it.
And I like Jimmy Fallon because of, like, the games he plays and everything. Although recently in the news, all the injuries, there's the speculation that he has a drinking problem. I'm like, just, you have it so good. Yeah.
No.
Like, you have it so good right now. Like, don't mess it up. So I'm very, like, every time I watch him, I'm, like, hesitant. Like, don't mess it up.
Yes. I'm a Conan O'Brien fan still. So.
Oh, I love Conan.
I love Conan. I still love Conan. He's still funny. Yeah.
So a movie that I'm hating isn't even out yet, but everything I've seen about it, I'm not about it at all. And everyone's raving about it, and I want nothing to do with it. This Deadpool movie.
I'm from Zyra City there, so.
What the hell is this?
Yeah.
Hasn't he already played a different superhero?
Yes.
This is just tired.
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern was
horrible.
They're
doing so many superhero movies that he's already been a different superhero.
But they don't care. They love it. Yeah. Chris Evans was a different superhero too. He was Fantastic Four and he's the...
he's not the same character throughout?
But he was the original Fantastic Four series. He was in that as Torch or whatever the name was. And now he's in Captain America.
Okay.
Any other movies we hating?
Yes. I tried... I couldn't get into Ted or Ted 2.
Oh, I loved Ted.
See, I thought I would love it. I thought I'm like the Talking Bear. I'm in.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm really in. And I halfway through each movie, I turned it off.
It wasn't my brain of humor. I skipped the first one. I saw the second one, and I was like, glad I missed the first.
The first one I found very funny. The second one was horrible. Yeah.
I guess there will not be a Ted 3.
No.
Not at this table.
Not this table. It probably made a lot of money. So who knows?
What artist or song is just way off for us?
Yeah, do it.
Off.
Do it. Yeah, I'm ready too. You do it. Go, Megan.
If someone knows what these lyrics mean, please tell me. But Drake's new song, Jumpman, with Future, is so... All I hear is this. Jumpman, 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 blah, blah, blah. Like, every time I effing love Drake. Like, I would have sex with him. I love all his songs. Like, yes, you're hot.
Wait, used to call him on your cell phone?
Yes.
Hotline Bling. And, no, I love him, and I just don't understand this most recent song, and... Future has a part, I guess it's Future because it said it on my little car stereo where they write who is singing to me.
Yes.
And it said Future, and there's this part where he's like, Nobu, Nobu, Nobu. And I'm like, oh my God, like, please. I thought it was like Rick Ross or like, I don't know, one of those kids hanging out with the Kardashians, like Tyga. Like, I didn't know who it was. But it turns out it's Future, and I don't know what the hell this song means, and I just find it super irritating.
You know, I always think of Drake as Jimmy on Degrassi. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I used to watch that show.
I used to love that show. So I used to watch it with my daughter. So I was like, you're the guy who got shot and was in the wheelchair.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way.
I'm like, and all his songs sound monotone to me. He's saying he does it all in the same voice. But I will say his music's really good. I like his music.
James looks like he's dying to tell us what he's hating in music.
I had a time of death about a month ago. I like to think of myself as someone who's kept current with the current music, and I used to read Billboard magazine when I was a kid, all the way up until a couple of years ago. I looked at Billboard magazine online, and I noticed the top 20 artists. I didn't know who they were. All 20? There was nobody like, you know, like there was no Rihanna in there, no Beyonce. It was like all these artists who have been. I'm like, I don't know any of these people.
Mm.
So I had to call it Time of Death 2015. and then I started listening to some, you can listen to some of the songs.
Yeah.
I feel like an old person. I don't get it. I don't get Fetty Wap. I don't get Tyga or Tyga. I don't get any, all this music. I'm like, where's Run DMC? Where's Salt and Pepper? I don't get any. Where's In Vogue? No, I don't get any of the music today. I just don't get. I've turned into my parents. I don't get any of the music today at all.
A lot of the music now is very repetitive. A lot like what you were saying, Megan. Like the, just the same things over and over. And that's how I feel about that Rihanna song. Work.
Yes. Yeah. Work. Work. Work.
I'm like,
work,
you gotta be kidding me. And that's basically it. That's basically it. So it's like I was so unimpressed by this that I had to make a Snapchat about it. I don't know if you saw it, but it was on. And I said, "Well, It's February, and we already have the worst song of the year. And I played it in the background. It is the worst song.
It's awful, it's not, yeah. It's really bad.
I think
bad.
We can all agree on that. Yeah.
And Rihanna can do good pop. She's done it before.
Yeah.
The only girl in the world. I mean, all these songs
Umbrella.
She's done. Umbrella. Exactly. Umbrella.
I mean, you know.
Hysteria.
Yeah. S&M. I mean, all those songs.
Yeah.
I mean,
she
does good pop music. I mean, we know she can do it, but I'm just like,
yeah,
done.
Next. I haven't been impressed with Rihanna, though, in a long time. A lot of the songs we named are not that current.
So. I was thinking like, a few years ago, yes.
Just saying.
Okay, so I did just think of one that I really do not care for, and it's Selena Gomez, Wanna Look Good For You. Oh. To me, I look good for myself, thank you. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, it's like...
You know what that song?
Right? It does nothing for her. She has some great songs.
She does.
Yeah.
Like,
really fun.
I agree.
And that one just does nothing for me.
Selena's got the new one, like, kicking my head to myself.
Yeah.
She's like whispering.
Why is she singing like that?
I don't know.
I'm not into that.
It must be like one of those producer tricks where they like have Britney Spears singing that weird little like.
The cat voice.
Yeah.
She can't actually sing.
Yeah.
Ooh,
okay.
On Super Bowl Sunday, or like the day before, I posted my favorite halftime show of all time, which was Aerosmith and NSYNC.
Yes.
NSYNC was incredible with their dance moves. Aerosmith came out and rocked it, and then Britney comes out and she's singing like "What is what?" And you know it's lip synced and pre-recorded,
totally.
But even then, it sounded like you just realized it's just about her abs and those great boobs. I've talked about boobs like 12 times. But you know, that's what the focus is. She wore the sock on her arm.
Yes,
the whole thing.
That was my favorite outfit.
Yeah,
Britney, I love you. I'll see you in a few days.
I love Brit. Yeah. It's Britney, bitch.
Brit, you're gonna love
Brit, I'm coming for you sometime before you retire.
Me too, same here, me too. But I just want to ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Was it her really singing on Scream and Shout? There's always this rumor it wasn't her voice.
Oh, I wanna scream.
I love that song. Is that her?
I mean, it's always very.
We don't want to pay for it.
She always sounds.
Don't come for me.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing less than 10 seconds.
Yes. Right, exactly. We're talking over it.
You know, she always sounds so robotic and like with auto tuning and everything. Yeah. I mean, who knows it?
The rumor wasn't her, but I'm like, I love the song.
You know, I always loved her because of the theatrics of her. Yeah. Like, that's always been me. Like, of course, Christina, Jessica Simpson, they always have the voices.
I'm paying good money for these tickets, and I don't expect to hear a note.
That was the thing. Is within a year, I saw Celine Dion in Vegas, and then I saw Britney, and what a difference the shows. I mean, Britney is just
laughable.
The costumes and the dance,
right?
But even the dancing though, because her dancers are 18, you have to remember, she's in her 30s now, so it's like, give me more.
It's sad because it's like such a. She and I are only 4 days apart. We're kind of like astrology soulmates. But so I've always felt very close to Brit. And God, just like watching the footage of the concerts, and it's such like a slowed down version of all the old moves.
It's a lot of strutting from one end to the next. Pose, hands up, walk to the other side, and repeat. Well, those are my Valentine's Day plans, so we shall see what happens.
Yeah.
That'll do it for our Valentine's Day show. Love it, hate it. But before we go, we want you to really make an effort and check out our lovely co-host episodes that they are previously on. For Marie, you can see her on episode 4. For Megan, you can find her information out on episode 6. And to learn about James, he's got a long one on here. He's on episode 10. So where can we find you guys on social media?
Oh, you guys can find me, Megan Stucker, on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. Lucky enough to have a weird last name, so I got the same handle for all three. It's all at Megan Stucker, MEGANSTECHER.
I'm like the most old school person and only have Facebook. I know. But it's Marie, MARIE, Garofalo, GARO, F as in Frank, ALO.
Nice.
Yep.
And you can find me on Twitter. Of course, you can find me everywhere. But you can find me on Twitter at Black Hope LA, and that's BLAK Hope LA. James Lott Jr. everywhere else, and theSuperOrganizer.com.
And all over AfterBuzz.
All over AfterBuzz and Black Hollywood Live, Popcorn Talk, and Book Circle Online. Did my first interview
there. There you go.
Busy.
Nice.
Yes, busy.
Very cool.
Nice. So thank you guys for coming in and talking about what we love, hate, and in between.
Yes.
This was great.
This was wonderful.
for bonus chatter from this episode, check out Grant's Rants Small Talk on YouTube. This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson.